passion for the planet, sound publishing,
the environment, health, alternative solutions.
I'm Chantal Cook. What role can brownfield sites play when it comes to encouraging biodiversity into our towns and our cities? Dave Wakelin is Senior Sustainability Consultant at Hilson Moran.
In terms of brownfield sites, sometimes they're best left as they are. Ironically, some very valuable wildlife habitat is now in brownfield sites. So there's always the question there, should we be redeveloping this and avoiding taking greenfield sites out of commission, moving biodiversity off those, or should we be leaving these and trying to actually use perhaps some farmland, which actually potentially lower diversity than some of these central city brownfield sites. The middle of London, and certainly Docklands, was a haven for black redstarts, one of the scarcest birds in Britain. And that's a characteristic brownfield bird. But we're trying to redevelop these because we don't want to be building the green belt. So there's always this compromise to try and reach. And it's very site specific. You look at the site you have. Is there more potential to replace? And would a town development actually be a more sustainable solution?
But how possible do you think it is, say, if you're looking at a brownfield site, to say, well, OK, we want to look after, for example, the black redstart and build it into the development that we're going to do? Is that possible?
It is, yes. Green roofs have become quite an established technology. And basically moving whatever's on the ground up onto the roof. It's a case of just keeping it to one side. Well, it's not quite as simple as just keeping it to one side and put it back on the roof, but fundamentally this is the process you go through. So you can recreate the sorts of habitats on the roof of a building. It's generally fairly nutrient poor soil or rubble, which is fairly easy to get hold of even if you're using the stuff that's on site at the present or bringing stuff in from elsewhere. And it's a very similar sort of technique to building a green roof, just with a different substrate. So it can be done.
Obviously, I can think of a green roof as I like the idea of, you know, you might see some grass up there, maybe even some wildflowers that have been sown by birds or something. That all sounds quite pretty. Rubble on top of a roof doesn't sound particularly attractive.
No. There's always been an issue both with green roofs and what's known as biodiverse green roofs. They're almost allowed to colonise themselves. And they're not a lawn. They're a mixture of wildflowers, grasses, bits of bare ground. There's always been an argument there in terms of the aesthetics, and we're very keen on them as ecologists to get them on board. Architects quite like them in some places when they're not visible. However, my personal take on things is if you let a green roof develop or a brown leaf develop over time, it will become more vegetated. It will develop a range of wildflowers. And because of the nature of the soils you have, you actually develop quite a diverse range of plants. So you get more colour and more vibrancy in there. It just takes time. I think there's a perception there that needs to be broken early on, that it's not an instant green fix. And it will take time to mature, but I think it's one of those where if you educate the client early enough and let them know the process, so they're informed, so they're not thinking they're buying something they don't actually get delivered for 5-10 years down the line. It's one of those things that can be overcome.
And how do you think society will develop in the future? More, less, different?
The trend for including biodiversity, whether it's in soft landscaping at ground level, green roofs or green walls, is accelerating. We're seeing much more of it. It's being driven by planning policy. The Mayor of London's now got a policy in place to encourage green roofs. That's being adopted across the country. Developers are taking it on board. It's not as scary to them as it used to be. So I think it's going to carry on increasing. There's a fantastic image that someone produced of Chicago. It's an architect's vision of Chicago in 10, 15 years' time, when all of the buildings have got a green roof on them. So Chicago, from being a fairly barren city, has gone to being a green city. I'm probably going a bit too extreme at the moment, but I can see that sort of thing happening. We're keeping a track on what's being produced where, and we're seeing more and more greenery coming back into these projects as people become better educated.
And how much impact is it really going to have on our biodiversity?
At the moment, it's difficult to measure because no one's actually sitting there taking a measure of what's being changed on a day-to-day basis. There have been studies done on individual buildings, but not across the board. And the data from those suggests that it does make a difference. It provides a habitat for a range of protected species. And the more of them we have, the bigger the resource we have. And as I say, it's probably bigger than the sum of its parts. But what we need to have is, when we're including these provisions, we need to make sure that we're allowed to come back and actually monitor what's happening, so we can learn the lessons for what's worked, what hasn't, and how we can improve things in the future.
That's Dave Wakelin, Senior Sustainability Consultant at Hilson Moran. And there are lots more interviews available on demand at passionfortheplanet.com.
This is a Passion for the Planet Sound publication. For more information about Passion for the Planet Sound publishing, visit passionfortheplanet.com.